If you will, turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew 15, and we're going to read verses 10 through 20, and then we're going to go to the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. But we're going to start out with Matthew 15, 10 through 20. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." And now the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Within the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce salt water. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm a little OCD, so let myself get organized here. I've titled this message this morning, "Tame the Wild Beast." And by the wild beast, I mean our tongues. So first, let's break down the passage of Scripture from Matthew. Verses 10 and 12 concern the Pharisees and teachers who came from Jerusalem, the capital of Jewish law and culture. Their intent was to scrutinize Jesus, hoping to catch him doing something against Jewish law, and then hoping to use such an act to drive a wedge between Jesus and his followers. Now, there were many laws related to food that had been incorporated into Jewish culture during Jewish history that were not directives from God. These laws and rules had been put into place by the Pharisees as a means to control the common Jew. And if the food rules, that's what I'm going to call them, were violated, the perpetrator would be labeled as unclean, and no Jew worth his salt wanted to be ostracized for being unclean. Now today we must be careful to not designate traditions as holy just because we have followed them for years. AKA the famous, we have always done it this or that way. Only the Lord has the authority to assign the designation of holy to anything. Tradition should be used to help us understand God's laws better, not become laws themselves. The Pharisees were very concerned about what the Jewish people ate and drank. And when Jesus said it wasn't what went into a man's mouth that made him unclean, it was what came out of the mouth that determined clean or unclean, the Pharisees were very offended and upset. The next couple of verses verify us that the disciples correctly assess this and that they express those concerns to Jesus. Now, I love Jesus' response to the Pharisees. And basically it was, they don't know diddly. And they will lead you astray. And just like a blind man leading another blind man, they will lead you to fall into a pit. Okay? Jesus says, listen to and follow me. And that's a reminder to us in our age that we have to continuously filter through all the noise and static that goes on around us all the time. Find the voice of our good shepherd and fine-tune that voice so that is the only voice we hear. And then follow his voice only. The devil uses noise and static as a weapon in his war to steal our souls from Jesus, to confuse us, to disorient us. And that's what the devil is trying to do, steal our souls. So find the voice of Jesus and follow it only. Now verses 16 through 20 highlight the human tendency to focus on outward appearances instead of what is in our heart. They also remind us that we humans far too often open our mouths and all kinds of poison is spewed out. God focuses on what is in our heart. And when we become Christians, one of his children, he works to change our hearts to be like his. But he only does this when we ask him to. He will not automatically work to change our hearts just because we are his children. We have to ask him. Remember that. You have to ask God to change your heart. He works to change our hearts to be like his. And we must again ask him to change us and demonstrate by how we speak to and of our brothers and sisters that we sincerely desire to change. He won't help us if we don't ask. We have the opportunity to be a positive example of what being a child of God truly means, or we can be another pew warmer. We all have to choose for ourselves. No one can make that choice for us. So what choice will you make today? Now let's look at the passage of Scripture from James. Verse 1 references the great responsibilities we all have as teachers. Now, we have some real teachers in here. Maggie and Miss Jean and Lou teaching Sunday school, and Karen's done the same. And I know Sherry used to teach her staff how to do the right thing, and I did too. But many of you are probably thinking I'm not a teacher at all. But each and every one of us is a teacher. And that is because we have a mission to teach others about the good news of Jesus Christ. All people who call themselves Christians are expected to share this good news with others. and we must do it in a manner that can be understood and appreciated. This is a very important mission. And remember, all of us are assigned that mission when we call ourselves children of God. Now, verses 2 and 3 help us to see that the spoken and unspoken words are equally valuable. The Lord will help us develop the ability to discern when to say something and when not to say it if we ask Him to again. Remember, we have to ask the Lord to help us do these things. Examples of an untamed tongue are the ability to know when to speak and when not to, gossiping, putting others down, bragging, manipulating, false teaching, and lying. And before we speak, we should always ask ourselves, is what I am going to say true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? If the answer to all three of these is yes, then speak. Otherwise, keep that beast caged and don't say anything. Verse 5 compares the tongue to a raging fire. The tongue's wickedness has its source in hell itself. Satan uses the untamed tongue to divide people and pit them against one another. Years of friendship and love can be destroyed in seconds by the searing flames of an untamed tongue. And most of the time, the damage done can never be repaired. It is much better and preferable to never let a fire get started than to try to put one out. We should not let our tongues burn down our well-built bridges that carry our love to others. So be careful what you say. Verse 9 through 12 is meant to illustrate how our contradictory speech puzzles us. At times our words are right and pleasing to God, and at other times violent and destructive. The tongue gives us a picture of human nature. We were made in God's image, but we have fallen into sin. So what is our true identity? Well, God will help us tame the wild beast, our tongue, if we ask Him again. We have to ask. He will instruct the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts, enabling us to control our tongues, taming the wild beast. And when this change in us occurs, our words will reflect and illuminate us as God's children, and our light will be able to shine through the darkness of this world. So in summary, there are four key points I hope you remember. Number one, what we put in our mouths doesn't disappoint the Lord. It is when we voice hate, run others down, lie, manipulate, and copulate with our tongues that we are unclean, more human, and less like Jesus. Number two, the Lord wants to help us become more like Jesus by changing our hearts and cleaning our mouths so we express love, respect, empathy, support, and truth when we interact and communicate with others. And remember, the key is we have to ask Him to help us be better. Number three, as Christians, we are assigned the mission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and communicating this information in a truthful, hopeful, accepting, and non-judgmental manner. And four, God wants to help and will help us learn to control our tongues. Only if we ask Him, though, by instructing the Holy Spirit to teach us the correct words to use and training us to have the discernment to know when to speak and when not to speak. Taming the wild beast, our tongues, is an impossible accomplishment for us to do on our own. We are simply and honestly incapable of doing it without God's help. God will help us to control our tongues only when we ask Him, and only when we are able to tame the wild beast are we better today than yesterday, and will we be better tomorrow than today. That helps us ensure that we all do our part to make our communities and this world a better place. Only speak the truth. Only speak the positive. Only speak the supportive. Only speak what is nice. And only speak what is kind. And most of all, only speak love. Amen and amen.